From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. We're going to celebrate spring now with a selection from the garden for NPR's Backseat Book Club. Each month, we ask young people to read a book along with us. And this month, our pick is Seed Folks by Paul Fleischman. NPR's Michelle Norris tells us more.
Our April book takes us to the heart of the city, specifically the city of Cleveland. Seed Folks takes place in a neighborhood that's seen better days. It's filled with people, mostly immigrants, who live in close proximity but barely share more than an occasional hello. They all stay in apartments that surround a vacant lot that, in the course of this story, is transformed from a smelly junkyard into a lush community garden. That garden in Seed Folks is like a big green magnet. It pulls in immigrants who yearn for vegetables they can't find at local markets. It beckons the wounded who find a reason to live as they watch life sprout from little seeds. And it calls out to the elderly. One example, a caregiver named Nora watches over a longtime neighborhood resident now bound to a wheelchair. She explains what happened when the old listless man first spots people working in the soil.
His arm commanded me to enter. Over the narrow, bumpy path we went, his nose and eyes working. Some remembered scent was pulling him. He was a salmon traveling upstream through his past.
Author Paul Fleischman loved the idea of a garden that would help a fractured community grow toward each other, the way a potted plant reaches for the sun. Ugly as it may be at the beginning, that empty lot is the beating heart of his book.
It's a place people have been dumping garbage for free for a long time, out their windows or from trucks. It's in an immigrant neighborhood that's seen many waves of immigration, as Cleveland has. The reason I picked Cleveland, one of the reasons, it's famous for its high immigrant population back in the 1900s and still today. It's not a place that anybody had ever imagined a community garden, and indeed the founder, a little girl named Kim, has no such plans herself. She just plants some lima bean seeds there in an attempt to connect with the father she never knew.
And she plants those seeds in April. We're speaking to you in the month of April. Now, it may be warm in some places, but in Cleveland, it's usually pretty cold in April.
Yeah, she does not have a garden book at her side. She just is working off of instinct, and it's too early, but she has the good luck to have planted them by a refrigerator, which bounces some warmth off, and they come up.
Each chapter of Seed Folks is named for a different character and told from his or her point of view. As their garden plots grow, their hearts grow bigger. Their worldview expands. There are still hard times in this rough little neighborhood, but each eggplant, each tomato, is a little victory worthy of a shared celebration. The entire sixth grade of Hardy Middle School, located here in Washington, D.C., read the book, and we want to thank their teachers for bringing them to NPR's Backseat Book Club. They had several questions for Paul Fleischman.
I'm Kira Bendel. I'm 11 years old, and I'm in sixth grade at Hardy Middle School.
Hi. You're in the backseat of the car, just like in a real car.
Are any of the characters in Seed Folks based off yourself or people you know?
Well, they are. I should tell you that many people think that authors just cut and paste from real life into books. It doesn't work quite that way. Usually characters are changed, transformed, turned inside out. Old becomes young, male becomes female, West becomes East. Look at Kim. She's a little girl from Vietnam. She's lost her father. I would seem to have nothing in common with her. But my own mother had died a few years before Seed Folks. That desire to make connection with that person who has passed away is a universal, and it came out in that story. I have connections like that with many of the characters.
The title Seed Folks does not simply refer to the work in the garden. It reflects a community bond. In fact, Fleischman said the word Seed Folks came to him before he even started to write the book.
The few words of a title are the hardest words for any author to come up with. My father used to offer my sisters and me $5 if we could come up with a title when he was stumped, and $5 back then was worth about $10,000 now. And we never could, and they're hard. So if you have a great title, it's crazy as it sounds, it's almost worth writing a book just to use it. It's like building a house because you have a lovely doorknob. But I had the word seed folks. I'd come across it in the course of researching another book. And it's an old term for ancestors.
Now, we should say that your father is, like you, an award-winning writer and writer of children's books. And I understand that he would read chunks of the books that he was working on with the family. Did you came by this naturally, and I'm wondering if there was ever any other choice for you, if you just knew in that household that you wanted to be a writer, that it was just what you had to do.
No, I didn't know I would become a writer, and there was certainly not an ounce of pressure. But it was also a huge part of my education. I mean, I walked off to school every day, but I didn't realize at the time that my education was really happening at home. Yeah, my father, Sid Fleischman, would read chapter by chapter his books as they were written, and that's how I learned what an opening line sounds like and a closing paragraph sounds like, and the joy of history, the joy of names, the joy of words, of plot, of character, absorbed all that without there ever being a worksheet involved. We also had a hand printing press in the house, so I learned the whole visual side of language, setting type. I'm a very careful, slow writer, and I think a lot of that comes from the care required to be a hand printer, where you, if something isn't spaced out enough, you take little slivers of brass or copper and put them between each letter.
Why did your father have a printing press?
He was writing a book called Humbug Mountain about a traveling printer, and as he often did, we absorbed parts of those books into our household. That's how we came to have chickens as well, from an earlier book.
So are your children learning from you? Did you teach them how to garden when you were working on Seed Folks?
Ah, you assume I am a gardener, but I'm
I thought
like
you were a method
writers.
Writer, that if you were writing about gardening that you had to put your hands on the soil.
Let it be known, I'm a terrible gardener. I'm an overwaterer.
I'm sure that someone is doing some sort of psychoanalysis right now. He's an overwaterer. What does that mean?
Well, I love them so much I water them to death, basically. But no, like most writers, I'm an ad hoc scholar. If I write about gardening, I'm capable of going to the library or on the web and learning everything I need to know without necessarily doing it. Although doing it is good. That's how we ended up with the printing press and the chickens. There are things you learn from doing it that you're never going to learn from a book.
Well, Paul Fleischman, may your gardens grow. it's been a pleasure to talk to you. All the best to you.
It was my pleasure.
Paul Fleischman, author of this month's Backseat Book Club pick, Seed Folks. I'm Michelle Norris, NPR News.
From Land to Sea for the month of May, our next book, Heart of a Samurai by Margie Preuss. The story, based on true events, focuses on a poor Japanese boy who is shipwrecked, saved by seafaring Americans, and returns home as a samurai.
And for June, we need your help. NPR's Backseat Book Club is pairing up with the Children's Choice Book Awards to democratize our book pick. Go to npr.org/backseat to find a ballot. Every vote counts, so please get your class, teammates, and friends to vote.
The polls are open until May 5th, and the votes are being counted now. The winners will be announced 2 days later during Children's Book Week, the 93-year-old celebration of kids' literature. We'll pick our June book from one of the winners. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.